Let's read together Psalm 59. In Psalm 59, we have David's experiences when he was under siege in his own house by the thugs of King Saul. These experiences of David also have prophetic significance for the future. Psalm 59, beginning with verse 1. Deliver me from my enemies, O my God. Defend me from those who rise up against me. Deliver me from the workers of iniquity, and save me from bloodthirsty men. For look, they lie in wait for my life. The mighty gather against me, not for my transgression, nor for my sin, O Lord. They run and prepare themselves through no fault of mine. Awake to help me, and behold, you therefore, O Lord God of hosts, the God of Israel, awake to punish all the nations. Do not be merciful to any wicked transgressors. Selah. At evening they return, they growl like a dog, and go all around the city. Indeed, they belch with their mouth. Swords are in their lips, for they say, who hears? But you, O Lord, shall laugh at them. You shall have all the nations in derision. I will wait for you, O you my strength, for God is my defense. My God of mercy shall come to meet me. God shall let me see my desire on my enemies. Do not slay them, lest my people forget. Scatter them by your power, and bring them down, O Lord our shield, for the sin of their mouth and the words of their lips. Let them even be taken in their pride, and for the cursing and lying which they speak. Consume them in wrath, consume them, that they may not be, and let them know that God rules in Jacob to the ends of the earth. Selah. And at evening they return, they growl like a dog and go all around the city. They wander up and down for food and howl if they are not satisfied. But I will sing of your power. Yes, I will sing aloud of your mercy in the morning. For you have been my defense and refuge in the day of my trouble. To you, O my strength, I will sing praises. For God is my defense, my God of mercy. Let's begin our study of Psalm 59 with some background notes. We see in the title of this psalm that it is another micnom of David, probably because David's request for the Lord's protection and the word micnom having something to do with covering, even a covering of protection. And like Psalms 57 and 58, Psalm 59 is set to the tune of Altasheth for the choir director in temple worship. We see that the occasion of this psalm was when King Saul sent men to watch the house of David to make sure that David did not escape. Let's read that account in 1 Samuel chapter 19. I'm reading from 1 Samuel chapter 19, beginning with verse 11. Saul also sent messengers to David's house to watch him and to kill him in the morning. And Michal, David's wife, told him, saying, "If you do not save your life tonight, tomorrow you will be killed." So Michal let David down through a window, and he went and fled and escaped. From 1 Samuel chapter 19, beginning with verse 11. So this was the occasion of Psalm 59, and it looks like David must have composed this psalm while his house was under siege and while King Saul's men were out to kill him. Now let me ask you, do you think that we would have had enough peace of mind in a situation like this to compose a psalm of prayer and praise like we have here in Psalm 59? Probably not, right? We'd be more worried than this, but you can see David resting in the Lord here. Look at David's faith in the Lord that he exhibits at the conclusion of this psalm, verses 16 and 17 once again. But I will sing of your power. Yes, I will sing aloud of your mercy in the morning, for you have been my defense and refuge in the day of my trouble. To you, O my strength, I will sing praises, for God is my defense, my God of mercy. Well, so much for background. Let's move now to our doctrinal teaching points for Psalm 59. Doctrinal point number one, David's experience in Psalm 59 is a primary source. David's experience in Psalm 59 is a primary source. Now, when we say primary source, we mean that this account of David's experience is not some later secondary account written up by some historian recounting the experience of David. No, This experience of David was written by David himself as he was going through the experience. And of course, it is the inspired primary source, so it is without error. We see in verses 1 through 3 that David calls on the Lord to deliver him from King Saul's assassins who have surrounded his house and set up an ambush, not just to capture him, but to kill him. Verses 1 through 3, once again, deliver me from my enemies, O my God. Defend me from those who rise up against me. Deliver me from the workers of iniquity and save me from bloodthirsty men. For look, they lie in wait for my life. Notice at the end of verse 3 and verse 4 that David is innocent of any crime or sin. Not for my transgressions, nor for my sin, O Lord. They run and prepare themselves through no fault of mine. Verses 3 and 4. Now, can we say the same? Unfortunately, sometimes when we are oppressed by the enemy, we can't claim innocence. In fact, our sins and areas of failure give an opening and toehold for the enemy to attack us. But David is innocent here. He is not guilty of any crime. In verse 5, David goes beyond his own situation of siege to the nation as a whole and calls on the Lord to punish all the hostile foreign nations. Verse 5, you therefore, O Lord God of hosts, the God of Israel, awake to punish all the nations. Do not be merciful to any wicked transgressors, Selah. In verses 6 and 7, David likens Saul's thugs to wild dogs that go around the city at night, barking and biting. Verses 6 and 7. At evening they return, they growl like a dog, and go all around the city. Indeed, they belch with their mouth. Swords are in their lips, for they say, who hears? These enemies of David thought that they could do and say anything, and no one would take account of their evil deeds and blasphemous words. They were wrong. Verse 8. But you, O Lord, shall laugh at them. You shall have all the nations in derision. The Lord hears and laughs at their ignorant pride and puny power. In verses 9 and 10, we see David's trust in the Lord and his confident hope that the Lord would deliver him. Verses 9 and 10, I will wait for you, O you my strength, for God is my defense. My God of mercy shall come to meet me. God shall let me see my desire on my enemies. We see in verses 11 through 13 that David did not just desire the defeat of these wicked would-be assassins, but that God would do it in such a way that people would know that God was sovereign and it was the Lord who had won the victory. Verses 11 through 13. Do not slay them, lest my people forget. Scatter them by your power, and bring them down, O Lord, our shield. For the sin of their mouth and the words of their lips, let them even be taken in their pride, and for the cursing and lying which they speak. Consume them in wrath, consume them, that they may not be, and let them know that God rules in Jacob to the ends of the earth. Selah. That was verses 11 through 13. What a contrast we have in verses 14 through 17, between the thugs of King Saul, who were like hungry, wandering, wild dogs of the night, and David, who in the midst of all this can sing of God's loving kindness in the morning, after a peaceful good night's rest in the stronghold and refuge of God. Verses 14 through 17, once again. And at evening they return, they growl like a dog, and go all around the city. They wander up and down for food and howl if they are not satisfied. But I will sing of your power. Yes, I will sing aloud of your mercy in the morning. For you have been my defense and refuge in the day of my trouble. To you, O my strength, I will sing praises. For God is my defense, my God of mercy. Verses 14 through 17. What a blessing that we have this experience of David preserved in Scripture. David's experience in Psalm 59 is a primary source. Doctrinal point number 2. David's experience in Psalm 59 has a prophetic significance. David's experience in Psalm 59 has a prophetic significance. We know that many of the experiences of David were typical of the experiences of David's greater son, the Lord Jesus Christ. When we read here in Psalm 59 of the assassins of King Saul surrounding David like wild dogs, we are reminded of our Lord's experience on the cross, as prophesied in verse 16 of Psalm 22. For dogs have surrounded me, the congregation of the wicked has enclosed me. Psalm 22, verse 16. So David's experience of being under attack by his own countrymen in Psalm 59 certainly prophetically portrays the coming rejection of the Messiah, even the violent attacks by his own countrymen. As John 1:11 says, he came unto his own, but his own received him not. Not only is the coming experience of our Lord prophetically in view here in Psalm 59, but also in view is the experience of the godly Jewish remnant during the coming tribulation period of the last days. We know that these believers of the last days will be attacked by their own countrymen, who will turn and follow the false Messiah of the end time. He and his thugs will have the godly remnant so under siege that they will not be able to buy or sell because they refuse to receive the mark of the Roman beast. Furthermore, as we see in verse 5 of Psalm 59, where the nations come into view, we know from the prophetic scriptures that the godly remnant of the tribulation period will not only be under attack from their own people, but all nations will surround and besiege Jerusalem at that time. See Zechariah chapter 12 and Zechariah chapter 14 in this connection. It is from this situation of being under attack and siege that the Lord Jesus will return and deliver the godly remnant as he delivered David. So David's experience in Psalm 59 has a prophetic significance. Now, what about practical application from Psalm 59? Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Remember, that's what Moses told the children of Israel to do when they were fearful of the Egyptians who were chasing them. And then God delivered his people with the miracle of the dividing of the Red Sea. Well, we have the same idea here in verse 9 of Psalm 59. I will wait for you, O you my strength, for God is my defense. Now, there is some question as to the exact translation of this verse. But in any case, David knows that all he has to do is wait and watch for the Lord's deliverance. He doesn't know exactly how or when the Lord will act, but he knows that the Lord is his strong defense and the Lord will take action. We too can be sure that the Lord will take action when we are under any kind of attack from the enemy. Don't cringe your fear. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord.